Mark chapter number 9, I think I have preached this message on Father's Day before, but I definitely felt impressed to touch on this message regarding fathers. And so I pray it will be a blessing to you. Before we begin, I want to pray just quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. I just thank you for the blessings of God, for your little move of yours through our midst this morning. Thank you, Lord. I thank you so much. I can feel something in my heart. Thank you, Father, for salvation, for a blessed hope. Thank you for a better day, Father. Thank you. And Lord, please help me now. You know how pitiful I am. And would you just touch me and help me to preach in power with your unction. And Lord, I must decrease. You must increase. I know that. I'm nothing. We have to see you. Father, we have to see you this morning. I ask you to help us. And if there's anything that would distract or hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you move it out of the way? And Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to begin reading in Mark chapter 9, I want to start reading verse number 14 and read this very familiar passage. And then I want to give you a few truths regarding the godly fathers this morning. In verse number 14, the Word of God reads, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them." Now, here's what's happened previous. Let me just stop and go back and give you a little background. They've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. I have wondered what would have happened had they all went to the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe it was Brother Fraser that preached that message sometime back here that said they could have if they wanted to. But they didn't, and those who didn't go did not have power. Now, I don't know if those who went had more power than these who stayed down at the foot of the mountain. I don't know. But I do know that while they were gone up to the mountain, a man needed help and they couldn't help him. And so having said that, let's start over and let me read quickly and give you what I think the Lord wants me to say this morning. And verse 14, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed." I don't understand that phrase. I don't know if his face was still shining. I don't know. Maybe if there was just a partial glow, I don't know. But when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him, and he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" He saw them questioning his disciples. It's as if he came to their defense. "What question?" Verse 16, "And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless," this is Jesus, "he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if, notice what the father said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And here that word if is a big word, seems to me. And Jesus said unto him, you see what Jesus, I guess I ought to read this. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I want to take this text and define to you this morning some characteristics of a godly father. And I'm going to say a few things here before I even get to the text. And I want you fathers to think about this. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5, we could turn over there and look at that, that the husband is the head of the wife. That's the Bible truth. I know it's not popular today, but it's a Bible truth. And I believe I could take that text and make this statement. If that's so, then the husband would be the head of the home. I believe that's God's order. The husband's to be the head of the home. And I know a lot of women won't allow that. A lot of wives won't allow that. And a lot of husbands don't want that. They're little kids in their mind and they just want to play. And they're not interested in their God-given responsibilities. And I'm not saying that. But I said that to say this. Dad, you're going to give an account to the Lord one day for what goes on in your home. You're the head. The moms operate many times under the direction of dad, whether it's lax or loose or whether it's tight or whatever. But I believe this with all my heart. I believe this, dads. What goes on in your home, you'll be the one to give an account for. One of these days, not mama. I believe it'll be you. She'll give an account of her submission to you, but you'll give an account for the direction and the path you have raised your family in and the standards and the convictions you've established. And I said that to say this. You have a God-given, fearful responsibility. I believe that. I'm as convinced of that as I'm standing here this morning. Dad, you may go off and work all day, but when we stand before the Lord, one of these days you'll give an account of your family. You better take it serious. You better not just blow it off. You better not just make a joke out of it. Better not just take it lightly. You better realize God's given you a great and a grave responsibility. And in this society we live in, it's a difficult responsibility. And so I want to just share with you a few little truths that I think might help us as godly dads. I look at this text and I don't know if this fellow was godly. I don't know if he was a scribe. as verse 14 opens up, the scribes questioning with him, and he asked the scribes, and when he asked the scribes, one of the multitude answered. I suspect he was part of the multitude. Maybe he was a religious scribe. I don't know his background. We don't know much about him, but I believe we don't even know what his name is. But I believe there is some truths that we can glean from this little text that will help us if we want to be godly dads. And the first thing that I see, and I've had two or three little outlines, we see the certainty of problems with your children. Not a doubt, there's no doubt. You make no doubt about this. Your children will have problems growing up. Amen, preacher. That's right. And so we see the certainty. We see the constraining need of help, the confused process, and Christ the answer. I could preach that to you, but maybe what I'm going to do this morning is just teach to you. I don't know. But I want to say the first thing that this fella had that godly dads need, he had a knowledge of what his child's problem really was. He knew what his child's problem was. Now that brings up a lot of things, and we'll get to some of that. But he was knowledgeable about his son. He knew about him. He was aware that his son had problems. I'm afraid there's a lot of godly dads. They just think they're just coasting through and think the kids don't have any problems, and they look at their little situation and they think, well, they might think that's a problem, but they really don't have any problems. Let me say again, your children have problems, and if you're the dad you ought to be, you need to be aware of what they're going through. Amen. Here's a fella, he knew when he was called on to explain or speak about his son's condition, he was very specific with it. He knew his son had a spiritual problem. He was well aware of that. Notice verse 17, the last part. I have brought unto thee my son, which hath, he knew what kind of spirit, a dumb spirit. He knew the core problem was a spiritual problem. Can I say, I don't know if I can say this wholeheartedly, but I believe I can say this as a rule. Maybe 90% of the time, problems our children have are spiritual problems. They're spiritual problems. Misbehavior really is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. He was aware of that. I look at this. He not only knew what the problem was, but he knew what the symptoms was. He knew what the symptoms was. He knew the difference in the problem and the symptom. He says this. In verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he tireth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. He was aware that these were the visible results of an inward problem. He knew what his child's inward problem was. I want to say this, Dad, that takes wisdom to know that. That's not an easy analysis or evaluation. That's not something you spend 15 minutes with your child with and have the answer. But I'm going to tell you the key to knowing the spiritual problems is to review and evaluate the outward symptoms, the visible symptoms. He took what he could see in his son's life, and he evaluated that, and he came to the spiritual needs that he had. It's not an easy thing to do. And I'm preaching to you some defining characteristics of a godly father. But I want to say it's not an easy thing. Really, many of y'all don't have time for your children. That's a harsh statement, isn't it? Isn't that a mean statement for the pastor to say? But really, in your heart, you know you're too busy to really evaluate your children like you ought to determine what their spiritual needs are. Let me just ask you, what are your children's spiritual needs, Dad? If we were to sit down after the service and you and I just one-on-one, and I would say, Brian, let me pick on you. You're first. I'm not singling you out. You're just sitting first there. Okay, Brian, what is Sister Grace's spiritual needs? You're a daddy. You live with her 24/7. You're closer to her, as close as anybody. I want you to tell me what her spiritual needs are. And then I go to Sister Emily, and then to Brother Caleb, and Brother Josh, and Brother Elijah. And I say to this godly dad, and I believe you to be a godly dad, Brother Brian. And I say to this godly dad, what are their spiritual needs? Could he answer me? Brian, could you answer me? Or would you have to say, "Is just, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know." Here's what I think we see from this story. Here is a boy with a spiritual need, long-term need, and he has a dad who cares enough, is involved enough, whatever word I need to use, wise enough, whatever it is, that he knows from his outward actions, he knows and understands the spiritual needs of his life. I believe that's a defining characteristic of a godly dad. I believe that. He knew the difference in the problem and the symptoms. He established the invisible from the visible. We could say maybe a lot about that. He knew this problem was a deadly problem. I want you to notice verse 22. And oft times he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. He knew the destruction of his child was the issue that was at stake here. He said, if this problem's not solved, I believe what he's saying, and maybe I'm implying more than the verse tells us, I believe what he's saying, if this problem's not solved, there's a good chance my son's going to die somewhere down the road. And fellas, I want to say this to you godly dads. Those spiritual problems can lead to destruction in your child's life. And I'm not just talking about destruction of going to hell, but can I tell you, once you're saved, that's just the start of the new life. You want your children to be champions for God, don't you? I mean, here's what I'm saying. We want them to mount to something for God. What's it matter if they make $1 million? What's it matter if they can hit a home run? What's it matter if they can kick a ball? What's it matter if they're the intellect of the world? My, it's what we do for God that's going to count one of these days after a while. That's all that matters. That's all that's going to count. When this thing comes down to a close, Brother Ronnie, me and you talk about being old. I remember when you were a young man and I was a young man 25, 30 years ago, however long it's been, when I first come to town here. I remember, and Brother Ronnie, I would say, if you were like me, you have one regret. Not that you learned more. Not that you were more athletic. Not that you made more money. But if we had one regret, Brother Ronnie, it'd be that we've not done more for our Lord. Not done more for our Lord. And then we raise our children to be worldlings. We put them in the everything the world has to offer and never teach them or never evaluate or never learn from their outward actions what their spiritual problems are, knowing that they're destructive in their life. destructive. Right now, can I tell you this? If there's not some changes made, when some of these children turn 18 years old, they'll be out the door and gone from the house of God. They'll be gone. It seems like I'm being harsh this morning. I'm not trying to. But here's the point I'm making. We're conditioning their heart to love the things of the world and not the things of God. It's the heart that God has to get a hold of if they're going to stay. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? I'm telling you the truth. Here's what you say. You're being mean to me. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. I don't want to lose these children. And my, it's going to take a godly dad whose God has given him the headship of the home to realize the spiritual needs in their life and to take action to help them. Dad, we need you. I don't know if we can count on you, but we need you. And those little Junior and little Sally, they need you. They need you to be what you ought to be for the glory of God. There's no telling what these young people might be. We just point them in the right direction. He knew the results of this spiritual problem was destruction. If they're saved, it'll be destruction as a servant. If they're unsaved, it may be a lost eternity. And by the way, because your child's made a profession of faith, how do you know it's real? I just like in this room, if you made a false profession at some time and got saved later, would you raise your hand? Raise them high. I want everybody to look around. Now look around the room. Do you think your child, I'd have to raise mine too. I did the same thing. There's probably well over half of the people in this auditorium made a false profession of faith. You know all you can do as a parent? Keep them under the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word. And someday, I believe with all my heart, if it's a sincere mistake, the Holy Spirit will open their eyes, show them they're lost. My, Dad, it's you. You see, the wife, she's in such a terrible place. The Lord tells her to submit. And I know Colossians said, only in the Lord. If He tells you to rob a bank, you don't have a responsibility to do that, dear wife. I don't care what anybody says. If He tells you to commit murder, you don't have to do that, wife. God's not going to hold that against you. Only as is fit in the Lord, you see. But you have a responsibility. Listen, Dad. You put your wives in terrible situations when you're not the dad you ought to be. You put them in terrible situations. They have to try to be the spiritual head that you won't be. And it's not right. It doesn't fit God's plan. It's not going to work like it ought to. And my, I say who the real victim is in the end. You know who the real victim is? It's the children. It's the children. That's right. They grow up to be worldlings because you're so insensitive to the spiritual problems that they have down on the inside. This fella, he looked at what was happening outwardly in his son's life and he knew he had an inward spiritual problem. He knew the problem from the symptoms. He knew it was a deadly problem. I just want to drive that truth home. There's not a child, there's not a young child or an older child or a teenage child in this building that doesn't have some kind of spiritual problems. Fact of the matter is, there's not a person in this room that doesn't have some kind of spiritual problems. But Dad, the Lord has given your children you to help them spiritually. And what I'm seeing is we're trying to help them in everything but the spiritual realm of their lives. Here's what I'm saying, Dad. The Lord has given you to your children to help them solve their spiritual problems. I don't know if I can make that any plainer, any clearer. And when you shove it off on your wife, or you shove it off on trying to make her be the head of the home or the spiritual head of your home, shame on you. It's displeasing to God. He's not pleased with it. And you'll stand before Him one day and give an account of your stewardship as head of your home. And I want to tell you that. I just want you to know that. You may not care. You may just blow it off. You may push it out of your life. But I want to tell you, maybe somebody wants to be a godly dad. Well, here he is. And then not only do we see godly fathers are knowledgeable of their children's spiritual problems, but godly fathers seek to help their children with their spiritual problems. I mean, it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to take time out of your busy schedule and out of your life and dedicate to helping your children with their problems. And listen, I know the frustrations of time and scheduling of time, and I understand all that. But can I tell you, if you lose your children, what then? I mean, if you could be thought to be one of the greatest Christian servants that's ever walked the planet, and your children die and go to hell, can I tell you, I think you failed somewhere. I think you failed. Do you have time to help your children? Will you take time to help your children? Many of you have a lot of answers what needs to go on. Can I tell you? You see what this godly dad did? He took time out of his busy schedule to try to help his son. We're going to look at how he helped him here in a minute. But it's not always that way with believing fathers. Some fathers, some I believe truly saved fathers, they have different ideas. Here's what they say, just let the child do the best they can do. They'll grow out of it. Just make it the best you can. God will help you. I'm going to tell you, God, the Lord helped, but can I tell you, He helped after this father did what he was supposed to do. Godly fathers don't get too busy to help their children. They just don't. They don't get too busy. They have time. And I understand sometimes children are unreasonably demanding. The more time you give, the more they want. And they give you guilt trips. I understand all that. But Dad, you better be smart enough to know you need to take time to help your children. And you better not take their problems lightly. Here's what we do sometimes. We say, well, that's not a problem. That's no issue. It's not to you, but it is to them. It is to them. I've seen dads just laugh off struggles their kids are going through. Just laugh it off. Just make light of what they're going through. And I understand from an adult perspective, it really wasn't maybe the end of the world or the biggest problem they've ever had. But to that kid, it was. And don't think the devil can't take that and twist it. And before long, that child had worse problems than what it had to start with. if you don't help them with. You know what would have happened to this boy if he didn't have a dad that cared? He'd have probably died. Cast him into the fire. One day, he wouldn't have been rescued. There wouldn't have been anybody around. Nobody to help him, don't you see? You see, this dad's taking time because he cares and he loves his son. And no doubt this dad could have been working to make a living, generating more money so his kid could have went to the Gamaliel school or whatever you want to say, went to some education thing or bought him a piece of property. A lot of reasons. Maybe in the world's eyes, good reasons not to have time to help his children, but he took time. You see, sometimes money can't solve the problem. Sometimes religion and Sunday morning church can't solve the problem. You see, sometimes it takes a dad who will pour his life into his children to help them with their problems. He didn't ignore his son's problems as insignificant or laughing off. Godly dads don't avoid helping their children because it complicates their life. There's just people that don't want the hassle. I say people, fathers. My life is complicated enough, I don't need my kid's problem making it worse. Now here's what I know, y'all are saying, that's not us. It can be real easy. Maybe it's not, I hope it's not. But here's the overall point, I'm just expanding on godly. One of the defining characteristics of a godly father, he takes time to help his children with their problems. He understands and recognizes and identifies the problem, but it takes time to help them with it. He doesn't say just let them do the best they can. He doesn't allow himself the busyness of life to keep him from helping them. He doesn't ignore them and treat them as insignificant and laugh them off. He doesn't avoid helping them because it complicates their life. He takes time. He takes time to invest in his children to help them spiritually with their problems. Dad, what I'm preaching to you, you know this. You know what I'm saying is right. I'm pretty sure God told me to preach this today. Now, I preached it before here. I preached these same, maybe not the same way, but I preached these same truths. Your children don't have anybody but you, Dad. They've got a pastor for 4 or 5 hours a week and a Sunday school teacher for a couple of hours a week, I guess if you count evening Sunday school. But what is that? Are your children going to open up to the pastor when you want him open up to him? Brother Steve said it this morning, we can't be honest with anybody. We ought at least be honest with ourselves. Something to that. I know I butchered that, Steve, and I never like anybody quoting me, and I'm sorry for doing that. But he said it's difficult to be honest with other people, but we ought to at least be honest with ourselves. Am I close on that? And that's so. We ought to be honest. We ought to be honest with ourselves and just face up to this thing. Are we godly dads? And a big part of being a godly father is understanding your children, taking time for them. Let me give you just a couple more here. Godly fathers do not give up on seeking to help their children. Verse 18 of our text says this. And I spake to thy, last part of verse 18, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now here's what a lot of dads, godly dads, would say at this point. Well, I tried, but It's just out of my hands. It's whatever God wants to do at this point. And I understand sometimes that's where we're at. And rightfully, it's where we're at. And it's the right thing just to trust God. But here's this boy, and this dad has brought him to the disciples who have healed person after person after person in the past. And he brings his boy there, and he can't get any healing for his boy. And a lot of dads would have given up, but not this dad. Now, I'm going to say this, godly dads do not give up on their children. Did you hear me? Godly dads do not give up on their children. Help may be a process instead of an instantaneous event, you see. That's what's helping with this. That's what's happening with this fella. It doesn't happen all at once, but because he stayed after it and he continued to try to help his son somewhere down the road, God honored his faithfulness and his effort to help his children, and God honored that, and his son was healed. You see, godly fathers just don't give up on seeking to get help or to help their children. After his disciples, no doubt when his disciples, he had seen all that they had healed. Think about it. He had seen them touch blindness and deafness, and maybe seen other mamas and daddies see their children healed. And when his couldn't get healed, probably disappointment, discouragement. And the devil gets on his shoulder and says this to him, "You're a fool wasting your time trying to help this boy." But aren't you glad a godly dad, he just kept going. He kept seeking help. He finally got the one that there's no case impossible for him to solve.
Amen.
He got to Jesus, you see. So he talked to the disciples. He talked to the disciples or took his son to the disciples. They couldn't heal him. And then he went to Jesus. My, let me just say it. Godly fathers take their children to Jesus. It may be through intercessory prayer. Maybe the only way you can take them to the Lord. But they took them to Jesus. Brother Bud, it was your mother.
Amen.
But I suspect it was your dad as well.
Yes, sir.
I believe Brother Bud's mom and dad took him to Jesus.
Amen.
Year after year. No doubt discouraged and disappointed. God didn't save him. You know Bud's testimony a few months after his mama died. God came to him in a beer joint, convicted him of his sins, and a month or two later, or however long it was, Brother Bud, he got saved by the grace of God. You see, they didn't give up. They just kept taking them to Jesus. My, can I tell you, sweet Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. There's no case that's too difficult for Him. You could come to me this morning and you could say this, "My boy's been a drug addict for 40 years. Now he's 60 years old and there's no hope for him." I say to you today, there's no sin too deep that the grace of God can't reach down and pull him out. That's right. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I say glory to God. We've got one that can help our children. Dad, there's one you can go to who you rest assured is able to help your child. Well, godly fathers seek to get the children to Jesus. Fact of the matter is, it takes the Lord and His power if your child ever gets help. What it takes. I've been praying for some time for Holy Ghost conviction to settle in this church. I don't understand why the Holy Ghost of God doesn't prick hearts and break hearts in our midst. I don't understand it. Maybe He does. And everybody's got to answer the will of man and this and that. And I understand that. I agree. That's a factor. But to somebody that has all power in heaven and earth, I'm telling you, when He came to me, He broke me down. He broke me down when the Holy Ghost of God came my way. I believe He can still do that. We hear stories of the old days. They'd burst through the doors and just run, fall on the altar and be saved. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I want to see it. I want to see our young children that's coming to the age of accountability be saved. Wouldn't it be horrible to be at the great white throne judgment and you and I that are saved to watch some of our fellow church attenders be cast into the lake of fire. Maybe their blood drip off our hands. Some don't believe that. I do, but some don't, and I'm not fussing with you, but if I'm right and that we stand there and due to our negligence, the blood of our loved ones and our young people in this church drop off our hands, how sad that would be. Here's what I'm saying. We've got to get our children. Dads, we've got to get our children to Jesus. Sometimes, let me say it again, sometimes the only way you can do that is through intercessory prayer. I tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be praying every chance I got. There's some of you all, and I'm being mean here. I'm being harsh, and I know it. But there's some of you all ask us to pray for your lost loved ones, and you won't even come out and help us pray on Friday night and Saturday night. I know what you say. I can pray at home. I know you can, but you don't. Just face it, you don't. And I don't know why that is. I really think you just don't realize the value of prayer. Can I tell you, we had 40 or 50 Dre and working just at Bible school, and we had 10 or 12. And I know, Brother Allen, I know where y'all was at. I ain't fussing at y'all. We had 10 or 15, maybe, whatever it was. At the prayer, what that really says is, y'all don't understand the value of prayer. That's what it really says. You think Bible school is more important than prayer, I guess. I don't know. We had to have your help. We couldn't have done what we've done for Bible school had you not been here. I'm not fussing. I pray for that. But here's my prayer when I pray. Lord, show us the need of prayer. Show us the value of prayer. Make it real in your people's lives. There's no greater work you can do than be a prayer warrior. You hear what I'm saying? Dad, I hope you're praying for your children. I hope you're laying on your face before God, begging Him to help your children. Take them to Jesus. Godly fathers, get their children to Jesus. And I want you to notice verse 20. This is just a little side point, but let me give it to you, and I'm going to close here in just a minute. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, let me explain this verse. And they brought him, that's the son with the dove spirit, brought him unto Jesus, unto him, that's Jesus, and when he saw him, he being Jesus, saw the Son. Straightway the Spirit tear him, that's the Son, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now here's my little truth. As you bring your children to Jesus, here's what's going to happen. Problems are going to arise. Problems are going to arise. Here this man's bringing to Jesus, and he just has a fit right in front of him. I mean, before it even... Jesus can even do anything. He's sitting there out of his head having a spell, if I can say it that way, from this devil. It was just a problem. trying to get his son to Jesus, he ran into a problem. And you always will. You always will. The devil will see to that. The devil will see to that. And so we see this godly father. He knew his child's problems, his spiritual problems. He sought to help his child. He took time to help him. He did not give up when it didn't go right. He went to the disciples. He started towards Jesus. His son fell out having a fit. And even when Jesus did what he did, he fell up like he was dead. I wonder if his dad thought, Jesus is killed, my son. I don't know that. But if you read the text, it was as if he was dead. Jesus took him by the hand and he arose. You see, godly fathers have a responsibility to the children. This father helped his child do what his child can never do on his own. Some of y'all have children. They will not get to Jesus on their own. It's not going to happen. You say, preacher, what I need to do? I don't know. But I say help them some way. If God puts something on you, help them some way. Get them to Jesus. At least in the prayer closet, take them to Jesus. Here he was. He's helping his child. Child never would have been healed had the child been left to himself. Never would. Save the grace of God just passing by somewhere and just doing something for him. But this father's efforts led to his child getting healed. And then notice too in verse 22 and 23, and I've already touched on it. I'm not going to elaborate on it. But in verse 22 and 23, the father interceded for his child to Jesus. When they got to Jesus, you know who did the talking? Dad. He talked to Jesus on behalf of his son. That's intercession again. That's intercession again. But can I tell you what I think? I think this dad had a great burden to see his child healed. I mean, it wasn't superficial. It wasn't something that he could lay down at night and wake up the next morning and forget about. It wasn't something that he got so busy that it wasn't on his mind. In his mind, he wanted his son to have healed. And he's going to do everything he could. And he's going to get him to Jesus with every effort he could. And he did get him to Jesus. But then I want you to notice what's said in verse 22. Here's the Father, and he says this, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, on my son and on me. Show us some compassion and help us." Now notice Jesus' answer. I think there's a great truth here. Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe." What Jesus was saying, it's not if I can, it's if you can. He said, if you can have compassion and help us. Jesus said, no, it's not if I can. The real problem is if you can believe and put faith in me that I'll do what you want me to do. Church. You know what I think Jesus is saying? If there's a problem, it's going to be with you and not with me. And can I tell you what this godly dad did? He didn't live in denial. He didn't say, well, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Look what a good dad I was. Look what I have done. Here's what he said. I believe, but there's some unbelief in my life and I need you to help me with it. And I think that's about where we're all at if we just be honest with us. We've got partial faith. Fact of the matter is, Steve, you said it to me the other day. Steve was mowing the grass and come in for some water. We was talking the scriptures. And he said, wife, you just have the faith of a mustard seed. You move mountains. That's the Bible, Brother Steve. That's what it says. A mustard seed. You know what a mustard seed? It's littler than a BB, I believe. I believe I could say that. Maybe, I don't know for sure, but I think it's quite a bit smaller than a BB. If you just have the faith of a mustard seed, we just don't have faith like we need. And I'm telling you, this is a pot calling the kettle black. There's nobody struggles with faith and trusting God. I said to you the other day, I prayed and prayed about some things. I don't know why God's not answering. I really don't know. I don't understand why our loved ones are not getting in. If we're really serious, maybe I hope we are. I think we are. Why they're not getting in? Can we not pray them in? Is there such a thing as praying them? I've wrestled everything in the world around. I do know this. If you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say this mountain, be thou removed. And it'll be removed. I'm butchering it. You go read it for yourself. And it'll, in other words, just a little faith can accomplish great things. That's what it's saying. That's what that scripture's saying. A little faith can accomplish great things. And here's what the dad admitted. I'm not what I ought to be, Lord. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm going to be honest with you. I do believe. I have some good things about me. I do have some faith. But don't have it like I need it. Would you help my unbelief? Godly fathers are honest with the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Somebody just come play softly. I don't know if God spoke to your heart. He sure has mine through this text. You know what the need is. Oh, the needs from some godly fathers that'll take the headship of their house and identify the spiritual problems of their children and take time to help them and be persistent and steadfast and unmovable until God answers and comes through. Don't give up. It's not if you can help us, Lord. The question is if we can trust Him and believe like we ought to. Does anybody need to obey the Spirit of God this morning? Our children, this generation's at stake. We need some godly dads. We need some godly dads doing what they need to do for His glory. Oh, God, help us. Help the Ridgeview Baptist Church. Oh, God, help these little families to be what they ought to be for Your glory. Help these dads, please. Help these good men trying to be godly dads to be what they ought to be. God, help us. Help us, Lord. We need You to help us.